Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Flow happens when your values align with your actions and you experience the freedom to lead with purpose. That's exactly what you'll hear in today's conversation with Margaret Graziano, or Maji, as her clients call her. She's a powerhouse in the world of leadership, culture, and human potential. From selling three companies to rebuilding after a business breakup, Maji now helps women leaders move from friction to flow and lead with fierce clarity and confidence. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the show, everyone. I am so excited to have this guest with me today, Margaret Graziano. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, who I am is a grandmother of six, a mom dog, and a parent of three grown men. And I live in Santa Cruz. We're expecting a tsunami right now.
Yes.
Although I'm crazy. Not a big one, but I'm about 300 feet above whatever it's called.
Sea level.
So I think I'll be okay. And what I do for a living currently and have for the last 15 years is work with CEOs of organizations that need to elevate their ability to innovate. So either they've got a new product that they're launching, or they're opening a new division, or it's a brand new CEO, or the company's gotten stagnant. And so we work with them on creating, shaping, cultivating an emergent culture. So my company is Keen Alignment. And how we do that is through executive coaching of the people on the leadership team. We also do a series in our cultural transformation blueprint, three different retreats over 2 years, and then lots and lots of training on how do you adopt a response agility mindset so that instead of being a victim to change and overwhelmed by the change or stuck in stagnant, you can be proactive, solution oriented, developing the self, developing the team to lead the way for innovation. So that's what we do.
Awesome. And what led you to this work and making the impact that you are so passionate about?
That's a, how do you know I'm passionate? I'm that's a joke. That's kidding. What led me to it is a 25-year career in recruiting. So I know firsthand why people leave jobs, why people take jobs, why people stay. And some of the propaganda out there is true and some of the propaganda is not true. Fundamentally, people want to feel that they're participating in something meaningful to themselves. That's mostly why people go off and start their own business, because they felt disconnected from what another organization did. So when I sold in 2008, I turned my hiring process into an automation, and we were going to start a software company. And I partnered with the wrong person. And as we were going through the breakup, my original business partner, apprentice, she started as an apprentice and then grew into be a part owner of the company. She said there was no alignment. We went with him because he knew software, but there was no alignment. And as we were breaking up that business, that's when I thought, Keen Alignment, that's why this happened to me, is so I can help other people when they want to innovate, do it with alignment, do it with a connection between their heart their head and their gut. And we just went with our head. Oh, this guy knows how to do this. He's done it before. And none of our core values were congruent.
Met.
So in 2014, I was just looking at my future Social Security statement because they're sending it out to people to plan ahead. And my income was almost nothing in 2013 when I was working at this software company. And then 2014, it was still almost nothing. And then when I started Keen Alignment, it just skyrocketed. So I know that I did the right thing, even by not moving straight into from recruiting and search into organizational culture. It took that disaster, that breakdown for me to see. And then we put all the pieces together of conscious hiring and conscious onboarding and designing alliances and coaching people. Because had I been working with a coach at that time, I would not have taken the track I took.
Isn't it so amazing when you look back at, in retrospect, how the experiences and lessons that you learned have really propelled you to where you are today, and how important it is to listen to intuition and trusted advisors, because there's so much that happens to us on a daily basis, weekly, yearly basis that we can really reflect from and grow from. And that's exactly what you did by, pivoting and creating this whole new, brand and product and program that has taken you to where you are today because of that experience.
Yeah, and I am already looking at Act Three. I guess it would be Act Four because recruiting was Act One, the software company was Act Two, Keen Alignment, Act Three. But one of the things that we've experienced is many of the organizations that we're serving on the executive team, they'll say, "Do you have any leadership programs for women? Do you do any of this stuff just for women leaders?" And so we've been hired by several companies to implement women's leadership programs. And that inspired me to create Ignite Power, which the first time we did Ignite Power was in 2016. We did two of them before COVID, one of them during COVID. And the Ignite Power during COVID was online, of course. We had triple the amount of people we've ever had at a retreat. And so my final act in the world of work will be only focusing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives of the female gender. And the reason for that is when I see who's most adaptable to change, and I see who's in the room applying what they learn, the guys are just harder to let go of their ego. And I don't feel there's enough resources by women for women. But I'm not ready to do that 100% yet. I still have keen alignment. But I love the idea of working with women and empowering them, unleashing their genius, and also supporting them with their daughters.
Yeah, that's amazing. You and I talked a little bit about this before we started recording, and how, like you said, there needs to be more female leaders out there supporting other female leaders, women entrepreneurs supporting women entrepreneurs. And so having coaching and retreats and networking and resources for these women, because women supporting women, I think, just amplifies like tenfold the growth that they're going to have. We just understand each other. We know our internal struggles, our mental struggles, our family dynamics. Like, we understand how everything works, and we know the drive and the determination that we have to be successful and grow. And so I love that you're building all of this, and you're still learning along this journey, right? Like, and as you continue to grow, it's just going to be so much more impactful for everyone that's a part of it. And I just love, I love this direction that you're talking about.
Yeah, so I have a great story to share. So I've been working with this company for about 5 years. They originally brought me in because it was super dysfunctional. They were like a family and then a family and a family, big company, 1,000 employees, privately owned, ESOP actually. And the guy who was running it was really old school, patriarchal, but he was running it well. He brought in a CEO. The body ejected the organ, got the CEO fired after a year and a half. And so I was brought in to help onboard the next CEO. That CEO was there about 5 years, nice guy, did a lot right, and didn't always take my counsel. My counsel was get out with the people, get in front of the people, enroll them in the changes that need to happen to keep your organization in innovation because you guys are stagnant. Well, long story short, he didn't listen. He brought his own people in and he too was ousted. And after he was ousted, the original CEO came back. The guy's like in his late 70s, if not 80s. And a couple of the people that were hired and that I coached during this 5 year period were now interacting with him. And one of the women, so I'll tell you this story, but before I say that, I have been asking myself, what do I want to be when I retire? Because I will retire, maybe 5 years, but I'm a planner. I plan ahead. And I want to contribute. I know people in their 80s that are still coaching and they're kicking ass. And one of them is a
Absolutely.
woman, Margaret Paul. She's like having a highlight of her career at 80. And another is a guy, and he's just doing great and traveling the world. And anyhow, so I put it out there and I said, okay, in my meditations, just give me a sign. So I'm talking to this woman who works at this company now with this old school leader. And her whole dream when I was working with her is, I want a seat at the executive table. I want a seat at the executive table. So the CEO, the new CEO, old CEO, asked her to give a showcase of what her department does. And she gave an 82-point presentation. I did not coach her to do that much, but because I'm not coaching her anymore. But she's telling me about it because we're now friends. And he was like, whoa, we never did anything like this. And so he invites her to the executive team, and she is out of her skin that she got excited to the meeting. She did not get a promotion, but then it happened. He says, we don't need the executive assistant here because you're here. So he leans over and says at the end of the meeting, oh no, before the meeting, he calls her. He says, I want you to be in the meeting, but I don't want you to say anything. You're
Oh
just there to
gosh.
listen. You don't know what the other people know. You've only been here 4 years. So be seen and not heard. And so she listens and she's pissed, but she doesn't say anything. Then she noticed the executive assistant is not in the meeting because the meeting is confidential and an EA shouldn't be in the meeting. At the end of the meeting, he leans over and he says, did you take notes? It was too much going on. I couldn't take notes. I need someone to take notes. And she said, well, that's what so-and-so's job is. And he says, well, now it's your job. So I'm on the phone. She's just touching. This is a woman who does offshore sailing. She worked for a major sports league. Like she's a baller, high achiever. I mean, when I was coaching her, it was never on being achiever. It was on having balance and softening her rough edges. And he's treating her, marginalizing like she's some assistant. And it was that day that I said, you know what? That's my answer. I work with a lot of men, and I work with a lot of men who are not chauvinistic, but that patriarchy is still very present, but it's not over. This women's empowerment, I don't think we've come very far since Gloria Steinem. I mean, yeah, things are different, but it goes like a cycle or like a pendulum. And I just think for my granddaughter, we need to double down. Anyway, I can't even believe it's 2025 that this guy says to her, you're taking notes. Then he asked her to get coffee for everybody.
That's
Like,
what I thought you were going to say when you first started.
he can't see her role or her talent. All he sees is she's got boobs and her job is to serve them. It's disgusting. And I don't work with them anymore.
I think that story is pretty like that's pretty common as like an indicator for women to get out of corporate. Because I feel like that happens so much in corporate, and like you said, it's not every male leader, but there are them out there. And for the women who are in those corporate environments with that glass ceiling, and all they want to do is sit at that executive table to contribute, to make the company better. And then when they get in there and they have an experience like that, it's like, what am I doing here? So it's like, oh my gosh. And that, I mean, that story right there talks about that lines with visibility, right? So this woman just wants to be visible. And what does it take for her to be seen and heard in the way that she needs to be in order to grow and be successful and contribute in the way that fulfills her?
Well, yeah, and for her and for many of the women leaders I work with, it's about contribution. They've achieved success. They have the checks. They've got the bonuses. They even have the awards. I mean, I have awards. I got rid of all my awards and threw them away because, well, I don't need to look at that. I just want to look at the future of what I'm doing. And I'm not alone. It's very common for women to want to contribute in that way.
So over the course of your careers,
You should say one career in the people business.
what has your personal visibility journey been? How has that evolved? How have you learned and grown? And how does visibility look now versus when you first started?
So that this is a great question. So as a recruiter, I had no visibility. I didn't even know I was any good at my job. I worked in a company where it was mostly women, if not all women, mostly single mothers or people starting out. We were all straight commission. We were not allowed to socialize except if it was a Christmas party. So we were blinders on. When I left there and I interviewed with other employment agencies, I had no idea that I was like a rock star in the industry. I knew I was good in that job, but so was everybody else. But when I left, that was the first time I was like, whoa. Then I joined the National Association and the local association. And then I even saw more. Wow, I am talented at this. Now, my boyfriend at the time would and turned into be a husband, and he would say, you don't need consultants, you're the consultant. But I couldn't get it. And I think that is normal for women. Then I got a
Absolutely.
phone call from the Pinnacle Society, and they said, you've been selected to apply, but we need to know your billings. And so I wrote all the billings up and searched at my little ledgers that I used to keep. Turns up I was in the top 3% in the country. And so I had no visibility until then. And then I joined the board and had some visibility there. And then the board, the National Association of Personnel Services, and the American Staffing Association asked me to do trainings. Then I understood what visibility was. And then when I sold the business, I would say I had no idea how to get visibility besides speaking. And I was speaking everywhere for free, which as a straight commission recruiter, that's an oxymoron. Like, why would you work for free? But I didn't know back in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that when you speak, you also want to put it on social media. I don't even know if there was social media then. And
Not
so
like there was today.
how I do visibility now is I have a podcast. I have one called Work Liberated and one called Response Agility. I don't know how many people watch it. It's not my full-time job. I do it out of labor of love. I meet these amazing people and I interview them. And mostly it's people I know personally and have met personally and I'm inspired by. That's who are my guests. And I have a YouTube channel and I do speaking, but not as much as I used to, because I just don't have the time. It's got to be the right opportunity for the right fee. And if I'm going to do pro bono, it's got to be a really good cause. I have to be aligned with it. Or it's got to be in the right geography where my grandkids or mom live,
Oh, I love
so I could
that.
go see people. Of course, these are all things you think about in your 60s. Like, I only have so much time. how am I gonna take one action and solve for three or four or five of my values with one action? So visibility it's still a question. I have a website, margaretgraziano.com. I don't know how many people go to it. We just installed Google Analytics. I have a guy that sends out mass emails, and actually we get tons of clicks because they're targeted audience. It's what this audience needs, but it's taken me 8 years to even figure that thing out. Yeah, I think visibility is a big question. I do volunteer. I'm part of How Women Lead. I have a mentor. I'm going to be assigned my mentor probably tonight because tomorrow I get to meet her.
Love
No,
that.
I'm the mentor.
Your
I
mentee.
have a mentee that I'll meet tomorrow. And I was part of Mentium 1000 back in the day. It's for me, it's been about doing. I haven't yet figured out how to get visibility. And all my business has always been word of mouth, all of it. In recruiting, I was a cold call machine. And I don't want to do that anymore. It's like every time I think about picking up the phone and doing a 3 ounce curl, I get a rash of, oh my God, I did that job for 20 years. I'm doing a lot and I don't know what's working or not. And I write a lot of blogs. Oh, the last thing I was going to say is I do get published quite often
That's awesome.
in good magazines.
Yeah, I think your visibility journey is very common, right? Sometimes as women, we don't understand that we need to be visible. And then when we recognize that we need to be visible, then how do we become visible? And then like all of the pieces that you've talked about, the speaking, the retreats, the publications, all of those things are the catalysts of being seen and heard. So you're on the right track.
Yeah,
Now we just
but
need you to understand what's working, where to put, the effort and how to amplify it. Because once you figure out visibility, then it's an amplification, right? Because people see you and you need to find the exact people at the right time to see you and hear you when they need you. So you're on the right track. You're doing amazing.
good.
So I know that you have a couple of programs that you offer and some retreats or some coaching. So tell us a little bit about how people can learn more about what you have to offer.
Okay, so for women, the women's programs are women leaders. We've got Ignite Power. That's a 2.5 day retreat online. And that is in January. And you just go to margaretgraziano.com and it go under services and it'll be there or offerings. And we have a ton of Google testimonials. I'm actually surprised by how many we get, and they're all top. Like, people have wonderful experiences. We also have a seminar series called Evolve the Leader Within. It's once a week for 2 hours for 9 weeks, and we have a ton of testimonials about
Love it.
that. And then we have Elevate, which is another 2.5 day retreat that's live and in Carmel
Very
Valley.
cool.
And then I am focusing all my speaking this year on either HR associations for my business Keen Alignment or CEOs for Keen Alignment or for Margaret Graziano women's groups. And the keynote that we are being asked to do all the time right now is response agility, which is the power of choosing what comes out of your mouth before it comes out of your mouth.
Love that. Well, Margaret, it has been amazing learning from you, talking with you, having you as a guest. I just am so honored to have met you and be able to share your story and your experience with the audience. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.